Hi, I'm Dennis Barnard of Green River and HR Means Business. I want to talk about some practical steps that HR can be taking to cope with the realities of this uncertain passage of time. Alfred Lord Tennyson's epic poem, The Kraken, tells of a mythical monster slumbering away for eons at the bottom of the sea to eventually rise to the surface on Judgment Day and die. Well, Judgment Day has happened for the world of work and its sacred conventions. And this old hulk is bobbing in the waves right now. There can't be any new normal when the working populace is now split into a kaleidoscope of options. Remote, workplace, hybrid, those who want to work remotely, those who don't or can't. It's disruption, Jim, but not as we know it. Add to the mix the distinct possibility of further pandemics, and it's clear that HR needs some tools, not just to navigate this uncertain era, but to guarantee continuity for the foreseeable future. Depending on your organization, employment contracts for office or field staff will no longer be one size fits all. There are endless permutations on the remote theme, and providing they meet the needs of the business, all are perfectly okay. On a remote work contract, an employee can undertake to be available, say, from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening, Monday to Friday. Take some agreed hours out regularly during the day for chores, and still cover the weekly hours required. To keep track of these varying contracts, you're going to need a workforce software module that enables them to monitor their hours. It's not about control, it's actually about employee well-being. When home working was forced on many people because of the pandemic, they stopped traveling and started to work ridiculous hours because they could. Some people I know burned out in a matter of weeks because no one was watching the situation. This is not sustainable. You owe a duty of care to those who work for you. As an employer, you need to ensure that your people don't stay too long at the screen without taking a break. Additionally, consider closing access to some business systems outside of the contracted hours, unless entry is authorized and logged. For both of these cases, system messages to this effect can be built in. Well, of course, this isn't going to play well with some bosses, but just imagine the cost of a claim for mental breakdown because a few common sense safeguards weren't put in place. If some of your people are going to work remotely, you must invest back some of the potential savings into giving them the tools to do the job, such as a good internet connection with bandwidth to manage large files in some cases, the right computer, mobile device, and, if you want to do it right, have their potential work area and furniture checked out. There's no point having your employees signed off with chronic back problems. And if you're the employer you should be, have the employee checked out themselves personally. No matter how keen they are to work away from the office, they may not be psychologically capable of performing well on their own. It's about making sure bases are covered for performance, employee well-being, and managing potential liability risks. If you haven't already, invest in a team working tool for use within the various departments. Things like Slack, Teams, or Trello are three good examples. That way your working groups stay connected, whether remote or in workplace mode, and make sure that the self-service feature in your HR software is working as well. Automate as many administrative processes as you can. Most HR systems offer basic levels of automation, but we need much more. I've spent the last 18 months looking for automation modules that are both affordable and easy to use. I've found some great systems, but not particularly affordable, and certainly not easy to use for anyone without a computer sciences degree. I'm still looking, and when I find one, I'll be sure to tell you about it, because it has to be the way to go. It's not about headcount reduction. It's about using tech to knock out routine stuff seamlessly, and humans can then be diverted to higher quality stuff. Talking about which, now I know there's a lot of my HR colleagues getting excited about artificial intelligence. I'll say this. As a profession, we're still getting to grips with what I call linear HR systems. Let's not run before we can walk. The logical step up is automation, and then, if it's really necessary, AI. But is it really necessary for the average organization? AI, they'll tell you, will predict who's most likely to leave the company. I'd rather invest the cash in managers who don't make people want to leave in the first place. AI will indicate the best candidates for recruitment. Again, quality managers can do that just as well. And incidentally, if you have an unconscious bias in your organization, that could well be replicated in the AI processes. So you'll need to balance out the purpose against likely cost and the expertise you may require to make it work for you. Artificial intelligence adopted too early could well put you at the mercy of expensive programmers. In summary, I'm not saying that HR has to lead the way to the new horizon, but rather, I see our task as putting measures in place to protect our organization and its employees, as well as the tools to allow it to carry on effectively, regardless of what's happening outside. The Kraken of old work styles is passing into history. Let's help to write some new verses. This has been Dennis Barnard. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.